IPSE leads the way.
IPSE.
One system, personnel, and pay.
IPSE.
21st century.
IPSE.
Total force visibility online.
Online.
Hello and welcome to the IPSE podcast. I'm your host, Frank O'Brien, and joining me today are three soldiers from the Integrated Personnel and Pay System Army, Colonel Greg Johnson, Major Myron Bishop, and Captain Ali Akani. Welcome, gentlemen. Today, we're going to talk about the Army's new developments in business and intelligence and data analytics. This is a major effort for the Army coming to all three components in December 2021. First question, just to get us started. IPSE is taking a holistic approach to look at everything, especially data, modernizing data, looking at the data, using data to drive policy. Tell me a little bit more about that effort.
Hey, thanks, Frank, for hosting this. And, you know, big thanks to Cap McConney and Major Bishop for joining me today to talk a little bit about data in the HR space, and then also where we're headed with the Integrated Personnel and Pay System Army, data, analytics, business intelligence, and really the shift of the AG and HR core into more of a modern setting with how do we think through data and how do we think through analytics. We have a lot kind of tied into the rollout of our release 3, which is in December of 21, which will put all three components into the same system in IPSE and go live then in December of 21. A lot of this, where we're headed, is tied to kind of where we're at today and where we've been at in the past. And I think, Frank, it's probably good that we stage set just a little bit and talk through really the current state of analytics and data. So I'll spend a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll pull in Ollie and Myron and talk a little bit from their perspectives, where our biggest problems are. Most folks that are listening know the current state. There's probably over 200 personnel and pay systems in all three components in the Army today. Data and authoritative data is not really adhered to. And then there's multiple that impact, business processes like strength management, tracking, workflow, how we do leave, you name it. It's really a hodgepodge of things that have emerged over the last 40 years. And folks out in the field are doing the best they can to kind of understand what's going on with that data. And they're using analytics in really its rudimentary form to do the work that the Army needs for readiness and manning and everything else, workflow, pay, et cetera. So what you kind of see is, since the authoritative data is not clear, folks will then dump data from multiple systems, work those in spreadsheets or access databases or other things. Or in other cases, like the National Guard and the Reserves have spent quite a bit of money creating systems that run their own analytics that aren't tied to the rest of the Army. And so what you got is this, people just trying to do their best and work through analytics as they can from the position or location that they're from. So what could be wrong with that scenario, right? That's what I would pose to the two gentlemen that are here with me today. Ollie, from your perspective, you're an active duty captain, soon to be major. That's kind of been in this scenario. Why don't you share a little bit about, how analytics and metrics work, in the active duty, from your perspective?
Sir, so thank you first for having me on here. And I would say that the biggest thing I've seen, the biggest challenge I'm seeing right now when it comes to analytics is it's typically just snapshots. You're not really getting a good idea of what's happening over time. You're not really able to show a commander progress. And in some cases, the only way you can portray that is by reminding him of something that you've shown him in the past. So Moving forward, I think it's one of the big things that we're looking forward to in Release 3, being able to show not just metrics, the things that commanders are used to, but being able to show trends, being able to show what's actually happening in a formation from one day to the next, that's really missing right now, and we hope to bring that.
Yeah, I would kind of, you know, I would provide also that, again, we're at this rudimentary level, right? I mean, you have S1s and G1s that are spending, you know, I don't know, 10s, 20s, 30 hours a week just struggling to lay out a non-deployable report for their boss that they can make decisions off of. So you're dumping data into spreadsheets, you're color coding things with some basic rules, or you've built a basic access database, and you're showing readiness. I mean, yeah, I was a strength manager in the 10th Mountain in the early 2000s, and you know, we had an access database that helped us distribute, you know, strength at the division level, and you know, we thought it was the neatest thing ever. But the diversions that we made on that access database and did localized orders for moves, nobody in HRC could see. So they couldn't see how we were distributing, you know, to different units. So then we're spending all this time, you know, just trying to get this basic picture of straightforward readiness and manning. And then you really don't have analytics that go beyond that. So in an active duty unit, you're really not tracking workflow. Like, how long is it taking, you know, actions to get through, you know, company commanders, battalion commanders, up to brigade and division. You're just not really doing that. Number one, you don't have the tools, and then number two, you don't have the time. And then, you know, number three, you're really not trained or educated to do that. So in our current schooling, there's just not a lot of time spent on, you know, kind of theory of analytics and business intelligence. You know, what does that really mean? You know, what should you move, into the business analyst space in the future? You know, that's one of the questions that we have.
Yeah.
But, you know, Myron, why don't you share a little bit about the Guard? So, you know, Myron's a National Guardsman, but he's on the IFSA team. He came from the great state of Michigan. So go blue, Myron. Even though you're from San Francisco, which is, you know, my near and dear to my heart, from being from California in the Bay Area. Why don't you talk a little bit about the National Guard perspective with analytics?
Yes, sir. We see a similar experience to what Ali described a little while ago. A lot of the homegrown databases, access, spreadsheets, really dumping data from multiple different sources, to be able to try and create a clear picture for commanders and leaders to be able to action, to be able to make a decision and make the information meaningful, to go from just being data to being able to gather from that data meaningful information. So, and as you mentioned, sir, the Guard has developed a few similar tools to warehouse style reporting and things like that. But there's nothing that puts the entire Army on the same standard. And that's kind of where we sit today, sir.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point you make there at the end. You know, three different components. So you're not all on the same platform, and therefore you're not looking at the same data. So as you roll up information in the Army, it just becomes problematic, and there's no baseline. So there's three very different views of data and analytics, again, tied to the three components. And one of the very core principles of IPSA is, hey, we're going to become total force for the first time ever. We're going to standardize business processes. We're going to standardize the data structure. And then we're going to start collecting data and information on how the system is operating through tracking of workflow, tracking of the customer relations management ticketing system. What's wrong with the system? What's the issues of soldiers? All of that will start to track movements and assignments, all in the same system. You'll be able to track that, you know, the requirements for manning individuals assigned to individual positions, tracking knowledge, skills, and behaviors. All of that in IPSA ends up being tracked, put into a data warehouse that we'll be able to use to query, as well as to feed other entities in the Army. And so again, for the first time ever, you're gonna have a baseline to really look at what is going on in all three components and really start to think through that. I think the other thing that we're gonna end up doing is we're really gonna push live training when it comes to analytics for the force with the, but then also at the schoolhouse. We think we really have to expose folks to what data analytics can be, what that structure of data means, and then how do you utilize that new information that you have in IPSA to help commanders think through decisions. Because for me, that's really what this is. You know, this is about really giving commanders better options and thinking through these things in their units than what we have today. So there's a lot going on, but I think it was good, Frank, to kind of lay out the current state. You know, people are doing, you know, what I say is God's work out there. They're trying to make sense of a 200 plus system environment, lots of interfaces and data, no authoritative data. They're trying to make sense of that, and they're doing the best thing they can. And, you know, we're still making the mission happen, but it could be just a heck of a lot better.
I understand the importance of having all three components in one system with one authoritative data source. Can you talk a little bit about what's currently available in Release 2 and what our listeners can look forward to in Release 3?
Yeah, it's a good question. So in Release 2, we have some of this, you know, the baseline metrics and analytics that we'll use as we move forward. You know, once you centralize all the states and territories from the National Guard into one system, now you can start to look at analytics in more of a holistic manner. And so we have that in Release 2. And I'll let Myron expand just a little bit, but what we put into place, I'll give an overview, and then Myron can talk a little bit about more of the details. Inside of IPSA, we'll have queries tied to the transactional system. So when you're doing assignments, there's a dashboard in the system that helps you think through the analytics of assignments in a state or in a unit. So that's inside the system. Plus there's scores of queries that help HR professionals and commanders just think through either the work that's in the system, workflow, promotions, audit requirements, you name it. There's just a ton of queries that are in the system built in that can be run and used. And then there's a data warehouse where we push the authoritative data. And in Release 2, that's about 600 data elements. And we're pushing that to the data warehouse that then can be used either in an ad hoc query fashion by elevator users in the system. And it's really important to understand how to do ad hoc. What do data elements mean? This is the importance of education. You can't just throw someone in there and think it'll go well on the first go. You really need to understand what those 600 data elements mean and how you link them together to create something meaningful that can be used and decisions to be made from. And then we have some hard-baked specific reports as well as some other queries that were provided. And then as you move into Release 3, all of that expands. So you have some baseline in Release 2 and then it really expands in release three. But Myron, you want to expand a little bit more on release two queries and what we have in the system?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like you mentioned, there's queries tied to our transactional system, and they really cover a full range of what a HR professional or commanders in the field would want to know. Things as simple as who's flagged in my unit, or queries that are sets of internal controls so we can monitor actions in the system. And there are also some transactional queries that help us understand what data actually went outbound. So when we create a transaction within the system, we know that the correct information went to our interface partner, a system that we're interfacing with. So that's just a few of the transactional type reports that exist that a user can use right now in the system. And with all that authoritative data that goes into the warehouse, there are a couple of dashboards that have different views. There's a strength related dashboard, a readiness and manning related dashboard that helps you look at the quality and whether soldiers are deployable, medically ready. And it puts all that information together to help users in the field get a great idea of what their organization looks like. There are also some predefined queries that are based primarily on soldier-related data, so you can see just general for information about your organization. You know, this is the soldier's address, so we can take unit actions related to that.
I think it's also important to note, Myron, right? You've just done a ton of live training events specifically for release two BI and analytics. And so for those that are listening, you know, those are posted on our S1Net site. Those are posted on our YouTube site. Those can be watched and, you know, folks can see kind of real time how that looks already in release two. And then we're already starting to do sessions leading towards release three, really led by you two gentlemen and a few others on the team that really start to lay the foundation. Again, you know, that's probably one of my key words today is we're laying this foundation to modernize analytics in the HR space in the Army that kind of starts to talk through what data analytics are and where we're headed. So, you know, really kudos to you guys already getting some of this stuff out there to look at and the field can start to look at it. Really excited where we're headed. Really excited where we're headed. Ollie, you want to talk a little bit about some of the framework stuff that you're doing for release three?
Of course, sir. To piggyback off of everything that Major Bishop has talked about, we are trying to establish more ways in release three that people are able to use data. So right now in release two, you have access to OBIE, which is your more ad hoc capability, your straightforward reporting. You covered that HCM analytics is going to be there. The big change for release three is we're going to add more data, more refined data, so folks are able to see more about their organizations, more about their individual soldiers. And then we're offering a more modern platform by hooking this up to something called the ClickSense engine. And what that's going to allow us to do in short is to be able to create more creative visuals, more modern visuals. We know that folks typically aren't as comfortable with a lot of our systems in the Army. The look and feel can be outdated in a lot of them. And so the message sometimes can get lost with how outdated it is. So being able to have a more modern feel and a more meaningful approach to the data is going to help us in our quest to try and get folks more accustomed to really being familiar with how to be smarter when it comes to interpreting the data. So we're looking forward to that, sir.
So we have a baseline in release two that we rolled out. And then we're now going to expand that, you know, even further in release three. And what I'm excited about with release three, beyond, you know, just continuing to push this modernization focus and really rolling out more capability for all of our users, is we've brought in green suit talent. Hey, you two guys are part of that, to actually do the work in building the analytics inside the system. So for me, that's been an exciting event to watch, that, you know, we're really doing this work with folks that are in the Army. And you get a lot of benefits from that. Number one, it's just good to work with folks, that are in the Army. But two, it's like the use cases. It's, hey, Major Bishop knows what specific things mean in the National Guard. Therefore, you're structuring queries and things that are in particular used for the National Guard in a way that, you know, makes sense to a National Guardsman. Really important when you use an outside contractor, sometimes those nuances are lost. So they might be technically smart and they might understand how to structure data and to work basic analytics, but they don't understand the use case fully because they're not in the National Guard. So really, it's a big win for us. And, you know, if you want to talk talent management just for a minute, you know, you find this talent all over the place. So, you know, I ran across Cap McConney, you know, in a captain's career course engagement a couple of years ago. And, you know, he was, you know, putting his hand up and asking me all kinds of hard questions about cyber and data and just all kinds of stuff. And I said, hey, since you're so interested, you probably could need to come work for me and help us fix this and modernize this. And, you know, lo and behold, a couple of years, have transpired with him on the team and really doing the work. And then, you know, with Myron, it was, we were struggling early on in release two with talent to help us with analytics. And so, you know, he came really highly recommended, from some of our guard partners. And we went to the state of Michigan and said, hey, can you release this guy to have him come up and help build the system for us? And, you know, he's been here a couple of years now and both have made tremendous impacts to really getting this right and then setting up where we're headed for release three. So it's been a really good news story for the Army. It's certainly a good news story for the program. But let's talk, you know, along that lines, you know, you guys have talent, right? That number one, it's not really in your records, right? I can't go and look in Major Bishop's or Ali Akani's ORBs and know that they're like data gurus and analytics superstars and, you know, they can just do this work. So that's one thing. But the other is like, you guys just bring this talent with you, right? This is something that you guys are good at. You have some background with. Where I'm headed is a question about what should we be training or educating folks in the AG Corps on to facilitate how they're going to use IPSA in the future. So let's start with you, Ollie. What do you think we should be really focusing on, you know, as we go forward?
So, sir, and thanks for telling us the story about how I joined the program. I'd like to think that I was pretty keenly interested in IPSA, but that's another story. Now, as far as what I think we should be working on, as far as data, I think that we say that word a lot, but I'm not sure that folks really understand what that means. And so one of the things that would be really great is if we got more of an understanding of our infrastructure when it comes to everything HR related. Like when you go to the schoolhouse, you learn about the TAPS and, you know, total Army personnel databases, and you see those figures, but you never really understand what it means and what's actually behind it. And so that makes it very confusing to see how information is flowing in someone's record and why, when you pull certain reports, things look the way that they do. Getting to a point where we really understand this data in IPSAS, since we're having it all in one spot as opposed to all these different systems, it should make it easier for folks to really get after understanding the flow of data through workflows. But also the more important thing is spending more time actually doing analysis of data and really thinking of creative ways to look at data as opposed to compiling it. Because right now, if we look at what we're doing writ large through the Army, it's compiling data. We teach people to be really good at cleaning data, compiling it, making sure it's accurate, but you leave about 20% of the time left to actually do analysis, and that's if you're good. Most of the time, we're just scrambling to get the data together. So when our bosses are asking us, hey, what do you think about this data? We haven't really looked at it. IPSA is going to turn that on its head. And so I think really it's a wide open place for us, because we've spent most of our time as AG folks looking at how to clean data and not really analyze it. So that's really where I think the schoolhouse is going to have to figure out how we turn people into business analysts. And I'm really interested in what Major Bishop's got to say on it too. So
thanks, Ollie. I kind of circled what you just said, you know, analyzing versus compiling. And, you know, maybe we just need to make a big bumper sticker, you know, put that on a t-shirt, you know, put IPSA on it and say, you know, this is how we're modernizing. Because that's probably the biggest shift beyond doing all the other stuff, structuring data, getting everybody into one system. Those are just massive for the Army. But this shift, and, you know, when you say business analyst or when I say it, it's what you just said. It's like, how do you're really changing the role of the HR professional from a compiler, right? Hey, get all the data, put it into a spreadsheet, and then like show it to somebody, you know, rows and rows and rows of just junk. And then inevitably most S1s have had the face shot from a commander going, yeah, that's data, but where's the information? Where's the decision out of this? You're right. Most people have had that scenario happen to them. You know, we're really facilitating through IPSA the ability to then analyze, you know, the compilations of the data in a way that we've never really had before. Pushing people to be more of this business analyst and being able to show options to commanders in a more rapid fashion. And your brain power then is analyzing. It's not utilized in this kind of rote compiling, which is what we have today. But Myron, what are your thoughts? Because I got some other thoughts on TWI and certifications and a bunch of other stuff that we're working with the AG Schoolhouse on.
Yes, sir. I really want to focus on the tail end of what Ollie said in the analytics. Becoming more of an analyst. And I played football in high school, and my coaches always said, focus on the fundamentals. So the starting point would be to really understand those fundamentals of data analytics. What are facts and dimensions? Facts being the metrics or measurements that we're trying to look at. What are we trying to measure? Whether it's a soldier count, a percentage, or something more advanced than that. What actually thing we're measuring, and the dimension being the how we want to group that data. Do I want to see a percentage within a battalion? Do I want to compare battalions? Do I want to compare divisions? And once you understand and practice those basics, you can start to build a strong picture and a clear picture of what's happening. And from there, that's when it becomes very easy for decision makers to say, hey, this is what I want to do. And I think that is really the end state that we're trying to get to, as opposed to just reporting data. Data translating to information, translating to knowledge. That I think that's where we're getting at.
Yeah. I totally agree. And you know, I wrote down fundamentals too. So, you know, your guys' live training event you've already done one iteration. There'll be several iterations over the next couple of months. I think it's helping to provide this baseline foundation of what to think about and what to start to look at and start to understand. And we need to morph that over to the AG Schoolhouse to start to train the core much more broadly and robustly than you know, your live training events. And start it at an earlier cadence. Like, you know, W1s should be getting this right off the bat. You know, in BOLIC for officers, they need to get this right off the bat because it inevitably sets them up as they go into their units to then, you know, you're analyzing what's happening in that unit and you're pushing key information and decisions to your commanders. Again, I'll keep harping on that for the rest of my career because that's really what it's about. You're there to provide your own combat power through the HR space for your units and your commanders. You know, that's what's exciting about being an S1 or a G1. But let's talk a little bit about training with industry. You two gentlemen didn't go to training with industry, but several on our team have gone to training with industry. I have five or six folks working for me right now that have been in organizations out in the civilian world that run PeopleSoft, which is the baseline for IPSA, the baseline software for IPSA. And then they've come back to the team to help us, you know, think through how we're going to do this. And we've been running these for a couple of years. So we have, you know, programs at UPS and at Wells Fargo. We've had it at United Airlines. We've had it with other companies. And these officers have been just embedded in this growing movement in the civilian world in civilian HR analytics. And it's really a growth industry in all of these big companies. They're spending a lot of money bringing in data scientists and other technicians to help them through their data and really think through and make decisions on things. Like we've been exposed at United to how they've looked at their retirement ages, which have continued to be older and older, and you know what might cause that. You know, just from a business perspective, that becomes pretty important to a company as to what's going on in that kind of arena, in that kind of space. With UPS and Wells Fargo, it's been very broad, seeing how they've done analytics and how they operate, you know, their system to generate those analytics. We'll continue to do that for, you know, several years. And most of those folks that are going to those training with industry opportunities are then coming, you know, to the program to help us or to HRC, because ultimately HRC will run sustainment on IPSA as we, you know, finish release 3 and release 4 and have it out fully to the force. But those are exciting opportunities that I think help provide some of those fundamentals that we're trying to, you know, fast track. You know, Ollie, what do you think? What do you think of those opportunities?
I would say, sir, what I wanted to bring up was as far as TWI. I think you pulled me along for that one meeting at UPS. We went, I think, to Atlanta, and what I've realized that you've been able to do is benchmark the work of this project against other organizations. And I think that's something really important to outline, because I know when we talk with our talent management partners from Great Britain, part of that CASEL project, they also, their focus was benchmarking their talent management against the rest of the militaries in the world. And so for us to benchmark our data analytics against other organizations, I think that's really important, because being able to have folks who are in TWI and out there with training with industry, with these, you know, Fortune 500 companies, and then come back and bring their knowledge to the Army. I mean, it's been really great. So the work that, you know, Captain Hawk, Dick Hawks has been doing, he's actually done very solid in making sure that we have pointed analytics. Same with Captain Emily, Marty Soto. They've been doing great work as far as being able to say, hey, these are the kinds of things that matter in the system. And so being able to get like our stakeholders to really start thinking through their data in a similar fashion out there in the field, I think that's going to be very important because, like you said, workflow analytics, they don't exist right now. So getting to a point where we know how long it's taking from each individual point of a transaction to get things done, and doing, you know, benchmarks and doing different pieces of analysis on how long it's taking for people to get things processed. We're talking about things that haven't been heard of just in that light. So having that benchmark of industry has really done a great job. And I don't know, I know Major Bishop works really closely with those guys day in, day out. So I'm sure he's got, I don't know what you're thinking about it, Major Bishop, sure.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Working with these folks has been great. Some of these topics we discover that can get very complicated, especially as you work with the system integrator at a technical level. But with these folks having real-time experience, they just get it right away. And that is a multiplier for moving things forward quickly. Yeah. And getting us to the end state that we're looking at getting to. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing having those folks available. Over.
Yeah, I mean, from my take, you mentioned a couple. I mean, Captain Hawks and Captain Marty Soto, just in particular. There's also a Master Sergeant Hall. You know, all those three have come into our sustainment of Release 2 team. And they've just completely transformed how analytically we're looking at the system. Now we're using them more narrowly in regards to how do we track defects, how do we track those CRM cases, and use that feedback coming in to springboard into areas of training. So we're looking at what system users are saying and submitting in CRM, and then we're dovetailing live training events tied to that so we can explore and explain what those issues are, how do you solve them, or how do you avoid them in the system. It's like this real-time use of analyzing versus compiling. Those three key individuals with that experience are analyzing the data that they're seeing, and then they're coming to me saying, hey boss, here's the five most prevalent issues. I think we should do this for training. I think we should do this for messaging. And I think we should do this to improve the system. Yeah. It has been just radically amazing to watch that. And Myron hit it. It's like they already saw big companies like UPS and United, Wells Fargo, there's several others doing that. Because that's how they use their analytics. They use their analytics to make business decisions. They're not just running it for the heck of it. Hey, boss, I got like 17 kids that, need to update their, whatever, their security agreement. That's one basic use of an analytic, but they're legitimately trying to change and update their business by watching these analytics and helping them make business decisions. So they're doing that for us in a very small microcosm, but only in the last, year that we've had them on the team. So it's been very exciting. And I know I'm excited to continue to push these TWI opportunities because you go five more years in the future, and then all of a sudden the AG Corps has about 60 to 70 people who have had this opportunity. And let alone the people on our team that are working with you guys, that are being exposed to how you frame, and drive this modernization, then all of a sudden you're in about 100 or 200 people that have had this experience. And then you're going to go out and you're going to help train the rest of the force, expose the rest of the force to this. So it's small baby steps, but I think they're going to play big dividends for us in the modernization space over time. So yeah, really good use of that. Frank, you know, we've covered a lot. You know, is there any other, you know, key questions that we should delve into?
Yes, sir. I've got one for all three of you. There's going to be all three components in the system. We've talked about use cases today, refined data, and the excitement that all three of you feel sort of working on this, especially with soldiers who've come back from training with industry opportunities. What's an example of the most important report or the most exciting report that IPSE will be able to deliver in Release 3 that is going to help commanders and senior leaders who are really hungry for that meaningful data that you've talked about to switch from being compilers to analyzers? Can you give us an example of what we can look forward to?
I mean, I'll hop on it, sir. So for Release 3, I think what we have a lot of different capabilities that are there, but specifically for senior leaders, what I want to highlight is we're actively working on prototypes for force composition. So what does our Army look like, both at an individual organization level, so each unit itself, and then what does it look like based off of a demographic factor, whether we're talking about race or gender or the year that they graduated high school? These are very simple things, but they end up being really big when you start looking at them in the lens of policy decisions, actions that need to be taken at a political or strategic level. So being able to figure out what the most popular MOS is for a female to enlist with, or for an officer to commission as, the data is there right now. But to Colonel Johnson's point, it would take so long to compile that by the time you get it, it's stale and the community has probably moved on to the next big issue. So we really need to be able to answer questions that are seemingly simple, but challenging when you put it together at a rate that matches the rate at which our senior leaders have to be able to tackle those. So all the things that we're going to be able to do from a force composition standpoint, it's going to be great. And then when we're talking about for commanders, same problem set, but now you shift it over to more focus on the organization, how many people you have in your organization, how qualified are they to do their job, and how prepared and ready are they to do their job. And we still need to be able to get that data at a rate to where it can help commanders make decisions rapidly, because we can't really predict what problem set we're going to have to answer. But we have to be able to provide information that is complex in a fashion that's pretty quick, so that we aren't focusing on what we do right now. And Colonel Johnson said it before, but I'll say it again. You spend a lot of time compiling each individual answer. It's as if we don't have a calculator to answer some of these big math problems. But now our focus is shifting with what we're doing at BI to where we'll be able to do these calculations on the fly and really focus more on answering the question and less time on how do we even get the answer to begin with. And I don't know how you feel about that, sir.
Well, I'll take it from a slightly different angle. So today, you know, like in the active duty, HRC and OP and EP are using different systems to do strength management. They do different system that shows the requirement, a different system that puts a soldier against an assignment, a different system to actually execute the orders or the RFO to the orders, a different system that's used for accountability in units, right? So there's 5-6 different systems in strength management. The beauty of IPSE Release 3 is it kills all those five. And you're doing all of that in IPSE. I mean, I literally have blown people's minds just talking that very fact that you're not going to look at these six different things, you know, EDAS, TOTMIS, you know, TRANSPROC, everything else that's tied into that process. You're not going to look at all those different things. You're just going to look in IPSE. And what you see at the unit level, the battalion and the brigade and the division, is the same thing that HRC sees. And so the analytic that you're seeing in the system, like if me and Ollie are looking at the system at the same time and he's at HRC and I'm in the best division in the Army, the first ID, I'm seeing the exact same thing he is. Absolute game changer. You're less times being spent, you know, trying to figure out what people are looking at and then compiling, and you're analyzing the exact same thing. So I think that's one of the most awesome things that Ipse rolls out. And then, you know, the ad hoc capability. So yeah, you do have data store, but nobody can really tell you how stale the data is in data store. It's like a mystery. And then your strength managers at HRC don't use data store. So again, you're in that problem of what you're looking at in today's current environment. In the future, that ad hoc is going to be refreshed every 6 hours inside of Ipse. And so it's near real time, you know, from what's in the transactional system. So everybody's looking at the same thing. You're all looking at the same type of data store, running the same type of queries. It's just an absolute game changer when it comes to efficiency. And we've never had it before. And if folks have seen some of our briefs and you know, things that we've gone out and talked about, today it takes a couple of weeks to roll up strength. So if you want to know how many female captains in the Army, you know, you got to ask the guard, hey, tell us. And you have to ask the reserves to tell us, because folks at HRC don't have access to those two component systems. Not making this up, folks. And then it has to be rolled up with the active duty numbers. And then it's, you know, someone puts it together and then, you know, emails it, because it's not all in one system.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in 2020, and we are, you know, moving into 2021, yet, you know, the greatest army in the world, you know, can't even, you know, tell you with a click of the button how many female captains are in the Army. So we're gonna change that paradigm. That's what makes me so excited about where we're headed with, you know, data and analytics. You know, Myron, what do you think?
Yes, sir. The thing I'm excited about is one sight picture. I met with one of the with active duty G1 section, and their headquarters has reserve component units that report to them, both National Guard and reserves. And when I demoed some of the Release 2 content to them, they said, this is awesome. This is the information I need. Right now, we have to ask our subordinate units, pretty please give us this information. And then eventually they get to the common operating picture, to decision maker can make a decision. Now it'll all be in one place. And then they can instantly see what the total force looks like. That'll have huge implications as we move forward and try to fight in the future fight without worrying about what component somebody is in, so that we can all be that one soldier, one record, one army.
Gentlemen, thank you, all of you, for your time today. That was some great information. Sounds like a really exciting opportunity, and looking forward to seeing more. Before we sign off, I want to encourage everyone to follow us on social media. And Colonel Johnson, any parting thoughts?
I think you already hit it.
Right. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us today. We're going to be doing the Ipse podcast series as a monthly program. So look forward to seeing this hit the street soon. And next one will be coming up in September.
Army-wide, Ipse. Personnel management simplified, online. Mobile. Integrated. Motivated, right soldier, right job, right on time,
24/7, 365.